please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. A little different today. And I thank you for those of you that prayed for us while we were on vacation. I wanted to get a word from the Lord and hear of what we want to focus on as we close out the year and a vision moving into the future for 2022 and beyond. This is getting more targeted here in our vision. So Ephesians chapter 2 is what we're going to be on here, and I'm going to prep you that at the end most likely we'll have a time of worship, and want to be able to pray for anybody that might feel led to want to pray. Oh, can you put it on mute? Hello, testing, 1, 2. Echo. I used to hate my voice. You know when God was asking me to speak? Part of what we're going to be talking about today is our calling. Anybody like your voice when you're recorded? No, nobody seems to, right? It rings in your head one way, and then when you listen to it, most of us don't like hearing our own voice. Am I the only one? Some of us don't like that. Who here doesn't like hearing your own voice? Isn't that weird? We're kind of all wired that way. So when God was asking me first to do this, you know, teach and so forth, I remember listening to my own voice. I thought I sounded like Charlie Brown. Oh my gosh, there we go. You could put it on mute or turn the volume off. Just don't throw the phone. I think Mom needs the phone. All right, so we're going to start reading from Ephesians chapter 2. Please stand with me if you're able to. We're going to pick up at verse 8. Ephesians 2, we're going to start reading at verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." Verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Father in heaven, oh, Lord, we thank you for wonderful, marvelous verses, passages like this that inspire us, encourage us, that give us a vision for the future, that answer those questions that really we all ponder as born-again children of God in the family of God. We know that we've got a calling for you. We've got a reason to be in existence. There's a purpose that you have us alive for. There's a passion that you have within each and every one of us, God. And Lord, I believe that you called us together, those that are listening, whether online or listening later to the recording or right here listening in person, on site. Lord, you brought us together for your distinct purposes and your plan. We ask, Lord, that you would please reveal that to each and every one of your children. Oh, Lord, please speak to us. Help us to hear your voice. Train us, disciple us, even as you did with Samuel, that we can be like Eli the high priest, to be used in a person's life to help us, one another, like friends, helping each other to hear from you, to hear your correction, to hear your direction. Lord, we want to know, what is your plan for our lives? And Lord, as we gather here in this place, in this body of believers, in Central Middle Village, Queens, USA, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you please would speak to us here. Lord, we ask that you would inspire and encourage each and every one of us in your ways. For we ask in the mighty name of Jesus Messiah, in his name, Jesus' name, we ask you, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. By the way, there's waters if anybody needs one. I need one. I'm going to open up by telling you a little story about myself. As we talk about God's calling, for myself, part of it started, at least in my knowledge, when I was a kid. So I remember it clearly as if it happened just a little while ago. But I was a little kid, and every summer, I would go to Hawaii. Anybody been to Hawaii? Yeah, it's beautiful there. I used to ask God, call me to Hawaii. You never answered that one. That one was not. So my grandma lived on Oahu, the island of Oahu. And every year we would go up to Hawaii. And I remember two things from my grandma. One is, just like a good grandma, she was always trying to force feed me, always giving me food. She couldn't speak English, so she would say things like ice cream, you know, ice cream, miluku, she would mention for milk, always trying to force feed me. You know, I think grandmas are kind of born that way, right? The other thing I remember her for is she'd always be praying to Jesus. And as a little kid, I thought that was weird. That's just how I was. Because I wouldn't understand her. She was this little tiny thing. I should have shown you a picture. She reminded me of Yoda. I can't remember, you know, she passed away. She went home before me. But she was maybe 4 foot something. She really wasn't very tall. My daughter Christina, who's 9, is probably about her height. You know, a lot of the Asian grandmas, they're just these little tiny things. She just reminded me of Yoda, this old wrinkly thing. So she'd be on the ground praying. She just kneeled down in front of her coffee table, and she only spoke Japanese, so she didn't care that we didn't understand. But I'd always hear, blah, 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 like loud. You know, some grandmas are loud with a lot of energy. You guys have a grandma like that? I had an energetic grandma. She'd walk, I think it was 2 miles to the store and back every day. Nowadays, it's Amazon.com. You come to me. But she was like that. And one day she was praying on the ground, blah, 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 real loud. And I would stare at her. You know, as a kid, I was a browdy little kid, born and raised in Southern California. And she stood up that day, and she pointed to a picture of Jesus on the wall, said all this stuff in Japanese, blah, 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 blah. And then she pointed at me and said, blah, blah, all this stuff. And I was maybe 6 years old, something like that, younger than my daughter Christina. But I knew she was saying something to me. She just like had this weird, fiery kind of look. And I didn't understand her because it wasn't Japanese. And all I spoke was English. I still have a tough time with English. It's the only language I know. So I turned to my auntie, who, by the way, at that time, was Buddhist. She married my uncle, my grandma's son, who grandma and grandpa, praise God, I don't know how they were like this, but they got saved in Hawaii. And their whole family brought up as Christian, but he somehow married a lady that was Buddhist, my Auntie June. Real neat family. So I asked her, what did grandma say? And she just laughed it off, as if to say, oh, grandma's just old. Forget her. Yeah, she was old, but I knew she said something to me, because she pointed at me, and she's like, real fiery. Blah, 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 something about, you know, the picture on the wall, and it was Jesus. I said, no, 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 tell me, what did she say? And it was something to this effect. Like, if you don't become a minister for Jesus, don't come back to Hawaii to see me again. Now, that's not something a grandma would normally tell their kid, their grandkid. But that's what she said. And I came to realize later on that God had given her what you and I call a prophecy. This is one of the things that helps inspire and encourage me in my faith in God, plus to be in prayer that God might give you a download. He might give you a nugget of wisdom of perhaps what is ahead, whether for yourself, maybe your family, or in my case, for your grandkid. So I grew up lightly remembering that, not knowing it much. And then later on, you might find this funny, but in 2002, after 9/11 happened, February 2002, God had moved me from California to here. So I was here, and it was somewhere within that year of moving out here, God willing, was for a church plant. But I remember talking to that same auntie, who interpreted it in Japanese when I was little, who probably is still Buddhist. Nice, sweet lady. I said, auntie, remember grandma, how she said that? Well, isn't it interesting? I'm actually doing right now what she said that I would do. And I had forgotten about that whole timeline, but that was decades later, 20 years ago. I'm 53 now, so it was about 33 or so I moved out here. My point is this. that each and every one of you have a calling with God. Each and every one of you is, if I could say, untapped potential. Not for me, not for this church, but in the Lord's hands. And this is what we just read, that again in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10, I have discovered in my life that I'm also his workmanship. Now, as we close out this year and move into the next, we want to envision what the Lord has in store for us here. I believe it's getting more clear, and I praise God for that. And again, thank you guys, because when I went on a 3-week vacation with my wife and our family, I was praying, Lord, what is your plan? What do you want to do with us? And it really wasn't happening right away. We're like, okay, I got to calm down. I still kept working. My wife knows it takes me about maybe like a week or so before I really kind of power down more. 3 days? I'm getting better then. And so thank you. Some of you guys were like praying for me. Lord, speak to him. He's a knucklehead. Speak to him. Get through to him. So I wanted to know, Lord, what do you want as we move into 2022? And this is not like a let's make a New Year's resolution thing. But I want to hear from him. And this is the thing that he was burning into my heart. That we would have as a, let's say, a goal, a purpose, a vision, as we move into 2022 and beyond, that we would help you to do this. In verse 10. Whether this is your country you're in or not, that we pray for you, though, that you're here, I believe, to visit relatives, yes, but that God Almighty has a purpose and a plan in store for each and every one of you. He wants to speak to you. So Ephesians 2, verse 10, this is one of those life verses, I would call it, because this will stick with you for your entire life. So as we close out this year and walk into the next, I'm convinced that God has brought us together here. I'm convinced that he, again, maybe he brought you into the country, that you can connect with relatives, that he brought us here, or those that would be online right now, or perhaps listen to the message later on. But God has a calling on your life. I'm convinced that he's going to bring you to a point of what I would say decision. Not deciding just, oh, I want to answer that call, but that you would actually walk in that calling. Because there's a big difference between that. And if God could do that with my life, even prophesying through my little Yoda grandma, praise God for her though, if he could do that and try to speak to me, and he spoke to me through so many people throughout the years, I could see clearly now as I look back at my past, and I don't know how God did it, but he had a lot of grace, a lot of mercy with me. And I believe he will for each and every one of us. So this is so, as I might say, ubiquitous. It's so, covers each and every one of us, all of us, to the point where once you become a born-again Christian, you start to wonder, where am I now, or who am I now, or what's my purpose for living? Okay, the present, but you also wonder and ponder for the future. God, what is your calling for my life? What do you want me to do with my time? I'm here now, and if you're not going to kill me and take me home, sorry, you're going to keep me for a while. Can I say that to my wife and kids? But if I'm here, Lord, use my life. I don't know about you, but I've already wasted years of my life, decades. They're just wasted. I don't know about you, but that's how it was for me. I don't want you guys to do that. And I'm not saying that you are. But this is something I'm really passionate about. This is part of my calling, that I would help you discover and do God's will for your life. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, as we'll get into, God willing, in 2 chapters from now, in chapter 4. So you need to know that God has a calling on your life. Did you know that God has a calling on your life? You do. You have a calling. And did you know that before time began, God created his plan for your life's calling? I don't know about you, but if you're alive right now and you're a born-again Christian, this is the kind of stuff that gets me going, right? Anybody else get passionate, on fire, inspired by something like this? Okay? A bunch of us do. I think each and every one of us should. So, because we want to envision something for us here it helps to have visuals for this. I love a graphic like this. So again, Ephesians 2, verse 10, you are his workmanship. We're going to break this down a little bit. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right, so we're going to break down that graphic in a little bit. And come next Sunday, too, if you can, on site and in person, if you're able to. If you're sick, stay home. You can Zoom in. But we're going to start looking at this more, and then I want to pray for you if this is something that God is speaking to you about here, whether your home country is this country or another one. We can still pray for you. But notice this, that God has some good works that he created, and it's for your life. So what if God told you that before I created you, I created a calling for your life to walk in? We share this back in February or so, I think it was. That's when I met Hector and Angie and your family. We brought you in. This is something that I'm passionate about, and something that, God willing, we're going to be seeing more and more in this church as we go through the Bible. These are things that we need to look at. But would it change anything in you? Would you remain unchanged? Would it be like how I was? So what? Or these are things that I question, I ponder. God, what is your purpose, your plan for my life? I don't want to live life aimless without a purpose. I want to know, because you, God Almighty, you created me on purpose for your purpose. There's something that you want me to do. So you need to know, God does have a unique calling on your life. But you also need to know that you get to choose whether or not you walk in your calling. I want to encourage you that you would walk in your calling. So as we get into this, understand, within light of what we're looking at in verse 10, it says about your calling of you're created in Christ Jesus for good works. It says here, which God prepared beforehand. Before planet Earth was created, did you know that God had a calling on your life? He alone had a calling. He brought you here. Perhaps it's to learn the Bible. Perhaps it's to be discipled. Perhaps it's all the above. But here's what he says in Jeremiah's book. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So God created Jeremiah, and we, of course, know this as a principle, not just where Christians know, okay, God has a calling on that person. This is used, of course, for pro-life movements. But much bigger than that, God created not just Jeremiah, but you. You're not an accident. In other words, he had a distinct purpose whereby which you were created, why you were birthed, why he brings people together, why he brought you here, perhaps. Okay? He ordained you, sanctified. That means to set apart. He's got something for you to discover and do, whatever that is. Okay? And so, who here has been asking God that? God, what is your purpose for my life? What's your calling on my life? Why do I exist? Why am I still here? If that's you, this is something you need to hear. Okay, so as we close out this year, move into the next. And before we get into Acts 19, because maybe you're thinking, okay, I thought we're going through Acts. We are. The last time I taught this, we were in Acts 6. That's a passage where the church started to multiply and they were handing things off to others so that others can discover their calling. Now we get to Acts 19. In Acts 19, we get into this, God willing, in a little bit. Not today, but later in the future. Acts 19 starts off, they prayed, laid hands on others. What happens? They started exhibiting spiritual gifts, which you're going to need for your calling. I'm getting convicted that as we go about this, that, okay, Lord, this is your timeline for us here. Help us, God. And I pray that God would speak to you, that he wouldn't, I see people get sidelined, distracted. This happens. You know what that's called? The flesh. Discontentment. It takes a while. Look, I've been telling you, I've been here next year, the start of next year, will be 20 years since God had me here. So long obedience in the same direction. Not by my grace, but God, by the grace of God, not by my strength either. Okay. But what I'm saying is sometimes it takes a while. Okay, so I'm not here to tell you that's going to happen zap. He's going to tell you overnight, or he's going to give you a grandma like how I had. I don't know. Even me, where that was revealed to me when I was a little kid, it still took till I was in my 20s till I actually embraced these things. It might take a while. But still, the call of God never stops. Amen, right? So God has a calling on each and every one of our lives. Again, here's what it says. God is, I think, speaking to you, each and every one of you that can hear this right now. This is the word of God. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And again, the graphic, I'll leave that there. We can look at that. So just a couple of illustrations as I illustrate a little bit of my life. I also want to share a little bit about just some of the illustrations that I've seen here, that we've seen here. I know today's a little different, right? There's a lot of people on vacation or sick right now. So hopefully they can get the recording later on. And one of them I want to share is even my son Joshua, little Joshua. Some years ago, he's over there on the soundboard now. Good job, Josh. I had his permission. Some years ago, we were just kicking back in bed. He's 12 now, but may have been, I don't know, 7 or something like that. We were kicking back, kind of snuggling in bed, talking, hanging out. And he says, Dad, I have 5 special things. Something like that. I'm sure he'll correct me later if I get it wrong. I'm going to show you. I took a picture of something he drew. He drew this recently, about a year ago. I have it framed and I put it on the wall up high. I'm going to honor that. And he said, I have 5 special things. You wanted to share this. Number 1, Jesus died on the cross. Number 2, Jesus rose from the grave. Number 3, Jesus went into heaven. He ascended into heaven. Number 4, I need to listen to Jesus. As a dad, I'm like, amen. And number 5, everyone needs to listen to Jesus. I started thinking, and I asked him right away, wait a second, where'd you learn that? I don't think mommy and daddy taught you that. Did you learn that from children's church? That's not in our curriculum. We're not teaching that. And I would ask him that. He said something like, no, Jesus told me. Something like that. I'm like, whoa, that's wild. Like, can you speak to me like that? You know? Because if you look at this, not only the things that he said are correct in doctrinal Christianity, even the order. Okay? Number 1, Jesus died on the cross. That's the crucifixion of Christ. Number 2, Jesus rose from the grave. That's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was like 7. That's not stuff, the doctrine that you would learn. But I forget, as a born-again child of God, he's got a mature God living within him that can teach him that and give him wisdom. Number 3, Jesus ascended to heaven. That's the ascension of Jesus Christ. Number 4, I need to listen to Jesus. That's discipleship. Number 5, everyone needs to listen to Jesus. I think, as I share with my son Joshua throughout the years, and we talked about this, I told him, hey, last year at that time, can you write that down? Make it nice. I want to look at and frame it because I think this might be God's calling for your life. Not revealed through grandma, but it sounds like you gave him that download directly. Because again, it wasn't just correct doctrine, but even the order. And he was too little to understand that. And we're not teaching that here. That was just directly from God. Because he's a born-again child of God. My point is, whether it's him or any of us here, God has a calling on your life. Pray for my son Joshua. He might have a calling maybe to the preaching ministry. I don't know. Or maybe in evangelism. Because I told him, son, up to number 4, that's Jesus is trying to get you to follow him. Be a disciple. Be a follower of Jesus. And number 5, he's trying to get you to preach number 1 through 4 to other people, that they get saved and that they follow Jesus too. He gave a childlike summary of evangelism and discipleship. I'm like, I don't even think of these kind of things. The wisdom that God can have that he gives to even a child. So I think of someone like him. I think of my wife, Susan, even. This is just within our family here, where Susan's called like to the worship ministry, and we see how she's anointed and gifted in that way. And pray for us, and pray for her, because we're starting to do more songwriting and want to help her express that calling in Christ. And we actually did some of the songs here that God had us, through His grace, He had us write and publish, and we want to be able to get that out to the world. We got a bunch more, so we're looking at maybe hiring others to help into this. Actually, I was talking to a buddy, a pastor friend of mine, as we drove down from our vacation on December 11th. So I've been feeling greatly convicted again. It's like, okay, we got to move forward with these things. I think of Brandon, right? God's, you know, maybe doing something in his life. He's got a guitar. Good gift, a family gift to him. So we start to see people starting to recognize part of their calling. Perhaps that is. Pray for him. Maybe he's called to areas of serving within music ministry and the worship and creative arts. Who knows, right? So you got to just try out stuff. And there's, I can go on and on. I wrote like a couple things down. I'm like, let me not, let me not go there, because we could just be here probably for days. Pray for Andy, who's teaching right now, though, in Children's Church. By the way, he's going to be teaching here Sunday, January 9th. I told him, we're starting to see the gift of teaching. Of all people that spoke of this pulpit besides me, he's one that I've recognized within the body of Christ. Validly, he's got the gift of teaching. I'm not going to say that others haven't, but we can see that one, certainly. That's one that sticks out. And we're seeing spiritual gift of exhortation and others, too. I can't give that gifting. No one can give you that gifting. Guess who gives you that gifting and calling? God. It's the call of God. So he's calling, but he wants you to answer, so to speak. So notice this. Let's go back to verse 10. And again, I'm just kind of illustrating some of what we want to look at here as we move forward with our, if you want to call it our vision, our goal. Moving forward into 2022, it's basically to equip Christians to walk in God's calling. To equip Christians to walk in God's calling. Look at this in verse 10, or again it says, we are His workmanship. Let me fast forward to some of these slides here. We are His workmanship. Some of you have heard of this before. The word for workmanship, though, is the original Greek word poema. It's the word poem. Did you know that you are God's poem? There's a lot of poetry in the Bible. The middle of the Bible. It's called the poetical books. What are some poetical books in the Bible? Some books of poetry. Psalms. Okay, psalm means song. It's the hymnal book of Israel. 150, the biggest book in the Bible. 150 psalms. Hey, what else? Is there any other poetry within the Bible?
The Song of Solomon.
Song of Solomon, okay. Song of Song, Song of Solomon, it goes with different names. Proverbs is another one.
Ecclesiastes.
They're all grouped together. Those are the poetical books. Guess what else is God's poetry? Job is considered poetry too. What else is considered God's poetry? Look around the room. Ladies and gentlemen, it's okay. You can look at each other. You might look at someone like, is that poetry? I don't know. Look, it's okay. Did you know you are God's poetry? You're God's, another word, work of art. You're God's masterpiece. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you didn't wake up this morning when you looked in the mirror and you go, what a masterpiece. What a work of art. But that's the word. I didn't write this. I know the author. You're His masterpiece. Me too. So I'm a work in progress. So are each and every one of you. Another translation will say masterpiece, but it's the word poem. God's the poet, and you are God's poem. I don't know about you, but I love things like poetry, music, right? Actually, music is how what God did in my life early on. By the way, guess what first instrument that I played? Some of you don't. Some of you know. Don't say it. You'll never guess. What's that? Turntable? Oh, that was actually my second instrument. Very good. I didn't know you knew that. Oh, wait, you know. My son knows. What is it?
Accordion!
Oh. Oh. Anything that Weird Al Yankovic is like, if he plays it, you know. Yeah. Everybody else thinks so. But I was a kid. I remember, Mom, do I guys still play this? Yes, until you're, she said like a certain age. And when I turned that age, it was like 16. And she asked me, do you still want to play? Nope. Those are expensive instruments too. That thing was like from Italy. I had the little one to start with because I was a little kid. And then it was the big one. The big bellows. It's like a breeze. No way. No way. It's probably worth a lot of money now, but no way. But yeah, my second instrument when I got to choose was the turntable. I got good at that. Actually, there's a lot of Filipinos that were really good. The world's best DJs were always Filipinos. Back in like in LA County and in San Francisco. There's a DJ named Qbert in Frisco. He was always like the world champion. Those guys were always, the Filipinos are always into music. Right, the karaoke machine, you got the karaoke machine at home? They always have that. All my Filipino friends, they all have that. So they're all into like the dancing and all that and music. So I got into music. That's how God connected us. I didn't know that God was going to use these things in my life to then connect where I would meet and marry my wife. And the rest is history. But these are things that God will do in our lives. When you look back and you have the beauty and blessing of history, I can look back and I see my timeline, but then I had to walk that out. And at that time, I'm just crying, God, please help me. Can you speak to me? Like probably how some of you are. I don't know. That's how I was and still am. God, I want to hear from you. And you never let me down. You'll never let me down. Please speak to me, Lord. So you are God's poem, just like how I was and is and always will be. Then when he was crafting within me, even playing the accordion. I mean, I'm sorry. Unless you personally played it like me, like, wow. I thought that was like the instrument from hell. All my friends, my buddies, they were playing, because that was a time of like heavy metal was getting popular. They were like, yeah, electric guitar. They had their Marshall amps at home, drums even. Even I'm like, the trumpet maybe, but the accordion, that's like the dorkiest instrument, I thought. But God was still at work. You know what he did? And my mom was smart. She wanted me to develop a love for music. My sister played the clarinet. And I played the accordion. So I learned to read music and developed a love for music. She didn't know. She passed away in 1986 when I was 17. She didn't know later on that my second instrument, one of choice, is going to be the turntable. I played that for years and I got really good at that, at that time and at that place. Knowing that later on, one day, God was going to tell me as I spent time with him, it's as if he would speak to my heart, I want you to get a guitar. And I'm like, what? That can't be from you. And then he would burn that in me. I want you to get a guitar. So I went to what was called Mission Music in Mission Viejo, California. I didn't have enough money even for rent at that time. But I was living as a missionary in a city. And I went and I got this guitar. And I thought, okay. I didn't know what I was doing. I just wanted to be obedient. It's a $300 Spruce guitar. I forget the brand even. It's the one I brought here. Yeah, Seagull was the brand. Nice guitar. I went home and I plopped in front of the table and chair. I'm like, okay, God, now what? I mean, I was just that obedient, but that blind with it. But I didn't know God was going to lead me to then later on when he'd have me write songs and then connect me with my wife, Susan, actually the one that we did today, Jesus My Life. I was trying to finish that song and I passed that one on to Susan. I'm like, let's see what you could do with this. I always heard collaborate with others. And she helped complete it. And it's as if the Lord was whispering to my heart, see what I could do with you together. I'm like, what? Really? The rest is history. But what I'm saying is, as God is forming you, he may take you along this weird journey. For me, it was the accordion. And then it was the turntable. And then it was the guitar. And pray for us, because God's still, you know, shaping his call upon our lives. But he has a plan for each and every one of you. So he's the master. You're his masterpiece. Think about this. This might speak to somebody here. You're his masterpiece. Again, you probably didn't look in the mirror this morning and go, what a masterpiece. Who did? Did anybody wake up and look in the mirror and say, what a masterpiece? You might look at it and go, oh, I need a shave. I need, oh. Teeth are getting yellow. Oh. But you're God's masterpiece. He's the artist, and you're his work of art. He's the creator. You are God's new creation. I think of the butterfly. You're his new creation. The old is to pass away. So his poem, that's who you are. You're his poem. He wants you to walk in his calling for your life. So notice this again, verse 10, we're his workmanship. Notice it says this, Christian. It says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. What are those things? I don't know. I don't know. So the general that we all know in Christendom is this. You are created to give glory to God. Everything in God's creation. Most people rebel against that. I find most Christians don't even know that. And they go through life choosing what they choose, and they ask God to bless their choice. Instead of discovering God's choice and then asking for faith to walk in obedience to what God's wanting. Those two, my friends, are polar opposite. This is why you find probably a lot of Christians actually not being blessed. They're not doing God's will. They could shout and yell and be really emotional and do a lot of stuff. And we think, wow, a lot of things, a lot of numbers, a lot of money. It must be blessed by God. But filter through the Bible and you find there's a lot that ain't, though. And if you find that out, that could be the truth. Okay, so as you discover God's will, make sure it always, always, always lines up with the Word of God. So if you come to me and you're going to say, hey, I know God's will, or I know this, God's telling me this. For some, if you're open, I might ask you the million-dollar question. Prove it to me with just your Bible. And I've had people say, no, I can't. Are you kidding? Then don't tell me it's God's will. Because God's will always lines up with God's Word. Always, always, always. So the good works that God has for your life, he wants you to discover. And he wants the world to be filled with his poems, so to speak. That's you. So these are good works. What is that, Christian? I don't know. But I want to pray for you. We're going to end this in a little bit. So we're going to close. And I want to just have a time of worship. I'll invite Susan to come up in just a moment where we can do more worship. But if you want prayer as we close out this year and close out today, if you want prayer that you would discover God's calling for your life, I'm going to pray for you. Perhaps that's one, perhaps that's some, maybe it's all, I don't know. But again, Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, you're created in Christ Jesus for good works. What is that? So in general, every Christian is called to give glory to God. Specifically, with your calling, that's how you're going to give God glory with your life. The specific. But you got to ponder, God, what are those good works? Who are those people that you want me to reach? What spiritual gifts have you given me that in the body of Christ that I could exhibit so I could discover? Like what we've seen with Brother Andy. I've known him for a lot of years, and only recently, like within the last year or so, God started to show. He validly has a spiritual gift of teaching. Pray for him. That's why we need the Holy Spirit showing that, and want to be able to allow him to exercise that. He needs your grace. So he's going to teach here in a couple Sundays. Give him a lot of grace. Pray for him. And he's got exhortation too. Encourage him in that. But we're starting to see, not just with him, and not just, I mean, there's a bunch of folks here that we see that. So what are those good works that is your calling? I don't want you to be like how I was that for years. They're just like, oh, no, I'm going to be in fear. I'm not going to walk out by faith. I'll do this, but I don't want to answer that call. Kind of scary. It's like a big phone, ding, like ringing, right? Some of us don't want to answer it. But I want to encourage you not just to answer God's call, but to walk in it, like it says. You've got a calling for good works. This is why he created you. It's not just for marriage, not just for family, and being a mommy or being a daddy is a ministry, but he's got something for you that goes beyond. Okay, it goes beyond just being a mommy, just being a daddy. It goes beyond just being a wife or a husband. It goes beyond just your family, just the people that you're with. We still need to minister to children. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? Because you're created in Christ Jesus for good works. You're his poem. I'll just leave it there. So as we close, I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask you to stand in a little bit so we could all worship together. Can we get ready to close with worship? But if you want prayer, then I'm going to ask you to come up in the front as we worship so I could pray for you. So you close out this year. Maybe you want to discover your calling. Maybe you want God's empowerment. And then as we go into 2022, I want to know, you know, maybe you want to start serving God so that you could start to see those spiritual gifts. Like we just see with our brother Andy. It's like, look at that and go, wow, you're the same guy, but what comes out of your mouth is radically different than the first 15 years or so I knew you. It's like, what changed? I don't, maybe it was just God's timing. But we start to see that even. He needs our love and our encouragement. So the Holy Spirit's showing us that. So I'm going to close this with a word of prayer for now to end this time. But then also, Josh, if we can cue up the next song, we're going to have a time of worship. If anybody wants to leave during this time, that's up to you. But if you want prayer that you would discover what those good works are, then I'm going to ask you, invite you to just come forward and we could pray for you. Then as we go into 2022, we'll just encourage each other. And I'm going to talk with and follow up later on with whoever wants prayer. All right, can we all stand during this time? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that even as you say here in verse 10, that we are your workmanship. It says that we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Oh, Lord, we know that in general, we are designed to give you glory. But each and every one of us, we want to know specifically how you want us to give you glory. Maybe it's through the workforce. Maybe it's serving here within the body of Christ publicly. Most likely both. I don't know, God, but only you do. Just like you called Jeremiah, you sanctified him. You set him apart. You ordained him a prophet to the nations. And like we're seeing even with our brother Andy Green, we see that you've given him a gift, a spiritual gift. He probably was given that years ago. But we're starting to see that now. We pray, Lord, oh, would you please baptize him by your Spirit. And Lord, before we get into Acts 19, where Paul prayed for others and spoke and spiritual gifts started to flow, Lord, we know that we need your gifting to answer your calling. And Lord, during this time, as we close out this year and walk into the next, oh, Father, we ask for your anointing. We ask that you would baptize us through your Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would help us and encourage us and comfort us in these things. Help us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.